So, Luke, you were on Bourbon Street last night, and if a bowl game in New Orleans is about anything, it's about making it to the game after being on Bourbon Street last night. Please describe.
You know, from what I remember, it was a phenomenal evening. You know, I may or may not have helped put some aspiring medical students through their education in financial ways. But still doing it right now. I'm actually right down the street from Bourbon Street. So
superb. Did you have absinthe?
I did have absinthe. I was the only one that liked it, and I don't like it as much now, the day after. But it was pretty phenomenal.
So describe, please. How many Ohio State fans to Arkansas fans are there? Is it a fairly even match at this point, or have the Hogs overwhelmed the French Quarter?
Last night it was a little bit more daunting. I would put it at 6-1 or 8-1 Arkansas fans to Ohio State fans. I feel like today Ohio State showed up a little bit more, just walking around and kind of worrying. I've seen a lot more than I did last night, which I don't really understand the logic in that, and just showing up for the game day, given that it is in New Orleans, but... You know, right on. I'm guessing the game is going to be like 70-30, but yeah, you know, the whole damn state of Arkansas is here, so it could be worse.
The other question I have is, the stereotype of Ohio State fans for me is at least pretty set. Lot of bros and fitteds, lot of jerseys, right?
There's an ungodly amount of Brian Hartline jerseys wandering these streets right now. I think even at all ages too. You know, you can see like a 13-year-old kid, and you'll see like an 80-year-old man, and he's still jersey clad. It's just how we do it.
The demographic appeal of Brian Hartline, or Mike Hartline. Sorry, it is Brian.
Hey,
I get my Hartlines mixed up.
Bro Hart or Bro Home.
Yeah, but the demographic appeal of the Hartline family in general, without bounds. What is the stereotype of Arkansas fans? This is fascinating to me on how they would come off to the outsider.
People of Walmart.
Oh, come on. I need something more specific than that.
It's been an absolutely charming experience being amongst them. I've already had one guy today who was having a walk about a block and a half to get something to eat, complain that he wasn't wearing his walking pants. That actually happened. There's so many mustaches and goatees that, you know, I think that it's really just probably a conspiracy from, you know, Gillette to have these people wear the facial hair that they wear. It's pretty phenomenal.
This is my theory, though, that the mustache, which is now fully ironic, right? It's come full circle from being the outmoded, slightly scary indication that you were a good 5 to 15 years behind national fashion trends. It's now come full circle. The goatee is and has been the mustache of like the late 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, I can see that. And a lot of bros here have both. So they're covering their bases, so they're trendy no matter what.
Wow. Tell me, did you actually get anything decent to eat? And then we'll actually talk about football. But I have to talk about food.
Food versus me has been a challenge, you know. Same as headache versus not headache, and I'm losing that one too. But I did have some beignets this morning at Cafe Du Monde, so trying to slowly starve off, you know, death by New Orleans.
The football question I will ask you is, if there was one key matchup in this game, I have a couple in mind, but if there's one key matchup that you look at and say, okay, Ohio State has definite advantage in A, what would that be?
Let's see.
Hubris.
Ryan Mallett's brain against a defensive staff and defensive players not having Ryan Mallett's brain.
Check. I would say also that the crucial matchup will be safeties versus Mallett. Because I don't see Ohio State getting a lot of pressure on him. I think that he's probably at his worst when he's looking at a lot of guys in coverage as opposed to blitzes, right? Because everything they do is so dependent on
That's precisely why I have an Evita in my other hand right now, because there's kind of this national sentiment that somehow Ohio State just has the same caliber of standard of secondary that they've had for really the better part of the last decade. This is the worst Ohio State secondary that I've seen in the last 20 years. There's a lot of talent, but it's really raw. And when you have guys that weren't even on the 2D expected to play, you know, Travis Howard is a guy who's seen nickel. Christian Bryant is phenomenally talented, undersized, and just guys that you didn't think would necessarily be playing the impact of, or having the impactful roles that they have now, having to go against the best quarterback they've seen all year, it doesn't make me feel pretty easy about tonight. But that's why there's alcohol.
If you had to pick a reason for optimism, though, on the Ohio State side, a real reason for optimism on offense,
yeah, mobile quarterback, meet Arkansas defense. That's all I had to hold on to, and that's what, you know, that's why I was able to sleep till 1 p.m. today. Was that? Yeah, the alcohol.
They're also not real great against the run, and as far as the trestle offense, good news. That's great news.
Yeah, we got that. You know, Tilo is an asshole who runs around yelling "fuck you" at his ex girlfriends. Well, Jim Trestle is an asshole that runs around yelling "Dave" at his. So
the final question I have for you is, what is the most disturbing and or awesome thing you've seen there?
Besides the $60 tip I may or may not have given a nice young lady last night, I haven't seen anyone throwing feces. I read about that on Twitter. I haven't seen that. I'm trying to think. Worst thing I've seen. A dude vomited when I was walking out last night, and then had to kind of second guess himself about putting it back in. He didn't do it, but, but that was
you saw him thinking about it.
He made the motion and then reconsidered, kind of made the motion again, and ultimately chose correctly. But
well, if they, again,
yeah, evidently now there's a New Orleans funeral proceeding down the street. So
it's for the Buckeyes, baby. They're giving you the pre-burial. That's it. They're walking
no,
you
man,
all the way to the gravesite.
Burying the streak, burying the monkey, man.
They're taking you down to the Superdome. With that, we'll leave you, Luke. Best of luck tonight. SEC.
Yeah. B1G, B1G.
Later.
All right, see you guys.
Luke sounded like he was having fun.
It's like a wee hobbit of joy. I don't know if he's wee, ladies of Bourbon Street. I can't attest to this. I encourage you to find out on your own.
He's pretty and friendly.
Never say I didn't do nothing for you.
Yeah, friendly, evidently, according to his own testimony about his experiences with the bright young pre-med students struggling their way through the New Orleans underbelly. With this, seriously, though, I do think this will be good. I do think this will be good watching for two reasons. It could be close, right? And Ohio State can win, and that will be interesting to watch since that doesn't really happen against SEC teams. And
we're back to using words like interesting when we mean perfectly preserved dead bird on the sidewalk.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw a paper bag, and that paper bag's name
is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And it flew through the air.
Yeah. Wait, let's do that. Wait, I know. Let's do the rest of the podcast talking like Andrew Luck.
So like I was saying,
I don't know, problem.
I'm really happy to be watching this game tonight.
Because of Ohio State runs a football game.
Sargento Cheese is my favorite.
I discuss with my parents about my draft prospects.
He does have a very milky allergy voice. He really does, like that sort of Sargento Cheese voice, you know, like when the guy in the Sargento Cheese commercial speaks and you think, wow, you sound like a guy who eats a lot of dairy. That's exactly what he sounds like. I would also say that that in this game, by interesting, we do mean preserved dead bird on the sidewalk. We could easily mean, you know, Arkansas. That could happen, especially because especially because really they have to get a run game. If they turn into a one-dimensional defense,
sooner or later, offense, by the law of averages, they're probably gonna.
It's gotta happen, right? I mean,
like, just by random chance at this point.
Maybe. We're not being dicks by saying, well, you know, I mean, they don't beat SEC teams. No, really. They haven't. That's not us, you know. We're all too happy to pound, you know, the SEC chest.
Woo! Woo!
But, but I'm not, but really, they've never beaten an SEC team. So it would be interesting for that reason. Now, if disaster strikes again, and we have to plan for this too, that'll be fascinating as well because.
Oh, sure.
I think it could get, if it starts sliding sideways, it could get ugly. Quick.
And that's before you even pan to the stands.
Yeah, that's true. And then you pan to the stands and gotta admit, probably very friendly fan bases. Not the most photogenic.
But with sturdy ankles. Is this the matchup of the two most sturdily ankled fan bases not containing Wisconsin in this year's postseason?
Not if you listen to Clay Travis, but he assumes that means Florida fans, which is so grossly untrue. You go to Florida, and I would say many things about the women at Florida. That would not be one of them. You know, maybe they'll steal your car radio. Sure, that could happen.
But no cankles.
Becankled? Yeah. Which, by the way, cankles, this was another great debate. I was listening to The Morning Jones. A fascinating listen every morning. And they're talking about guys who are really concerned about women and weight. Like, I won't date a woman who weighs under this. Bringing up the question, like, what dude puts the lady on the scale? Right?
Right.
I thought, what, you know, how many women do that? Oh, man, I won't date a woman. I won't date a man if he's not, you know, if he's under 200 pounds, that's fine. Over 200, gone.
I have a height barrier. Is that the same thing?
I think height's a little different.
Okay.
What's your height barrier?
Oh, I have a firm 6-foot ceiling, but that's, or 6-foot floor for my bros, but that's just because I got to wear boots.
Okay. Well, that's true.
And I want to tower over some scrub dude.
Yeah, some women have a real problem with that. With the man being shorter than, I could understand that, but a weight thing, like a numerical weight thing, I could understand if you don't find that attractive, right?
Right.
Right. But I would not understand somebody who would find out that there was 160 pounds of woman in front of them, a great looking 160 pounds. Mm-hmm. I would say 160. Nope. Nope. I think it's just because guys don't actually know how much women weigh.
That sounds like an interesting reality show that we could film in a bar. Guess this chick's weight.
It would be the most violent television show.
And the chicks themselves get to hand out prizes.
Yeah. Congratulations.
If you guess her weight over by too much, she gets to throw a drink in your face. And if you guess her weight under too much, she leans in for a smooch, but then a trap door opens and drops you into a pit of sharks.
I would go with that.
We'll make a million!
I would also say a lot of dudes going in the pit of sharks because guys are terrible at guessing weight. They would be so very, very bad. I don't, like, I am so, like, guys who say, oh, like, if a guy actually seriously says, man, I'm not going to date a chick who weighs over 130 pounds. You don't actually know what 130 pounds is. You're the kind of guy who says, oh, I could just, you know what? I think I could bicep curl 130 pounds. No, you couldn't.
No.
Yeah, you have no idea what it is whatsoever. Speaking of incorrectly guessing weights, or at least guessing numbers.
Guess Brian Mallett's weight.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
No. I was even going to go more pedestrian than that. Hey, Holly.
I've got a stat sheet. Guess Ryan Mallett's weight.
Oh, Mallett is 230.
No, sorry. He's 300. Oh, that's his passing yardage. you're close. He's 238. Ding, ding.
I thought he was right around there because he's 6'7". You know, 6'6".
He's an int. He's an int. They list him as 6'6", and he's not.
He's pretty ripped, too. I mean, he's like, there's a lot of muscle to the dude.
Remember we saw him at Media Days this past summer? We were like, here comes Ryan Mallett. And he opened his mouth, and these just dulcet, articulate words flow out. And he kind of came off, as I remember, looking like, you know, a young buck president in some kind of end-of-the-world disaster movie.
And might I add, with game. Like, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, thinking that. Like,
I mean, he's in the SEC, but he's in the West, so we only have to play him, like, every 7 years. I don't think we've ever had to play Ryan Mallett. So I'm fully comfortable with my admiration of him and his game.
Right. I was looking up there thinking, this guy's smooth. I mean, the story's like, the summer of Mallett, not far off in terms of his own estimation of his game. He was...
Not particularly, no.
No, no, no. In control. I could see, seriously, I could see him walking out of the dorm room, leaving the girl there, walking past the suite mate, and mind you, not doing anything so crass as to attempt the double-double right there, but he'd get a number and just walk out. And it would all seem totally, like, informed because he's that slick.
Yeah.
Whereas I see Terrell Pryor getting that number and selling it to somebody else. Hey-o!
They do that, you know.